Welcome to the Regal Poet Radio Show. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, and I am so glad to have you here with us today. The poem we just heard was from Mr. Philip Levine. Philip Levine is an American poet. He is a Pulitzer Prize recipient, and he recently passed away this week. A great mind, he's a poet laureate, and a great representation of poetry and poetry entrepreneurship. Both of his poems had to do with work. Both of his poems dealt with his relationship with his older brother that took care of him. So it was one of his signature pieces. So it was good. I thought it was a good piece for us, especially since today we're talking about work. We're talking about what it means to be a part of the community, being regal in this community. And this is a very, very, very busy week for a regal poet. And honestly, it seems to be a busy, busy week for everyone, everyone across the board, everyone I run into. Oh, my goodness, that week is just so, so, so busy, which is a good thing because that means that we are involved or the people that we're surrounding ourselves, which I definitely believe in surrounding yourself with like-minded people. They're just as busy and creating as we are. There's some great things going on that we'd like to share as Regal Poet Radio is a part of the community. We want to make sure that you guys know some of the things that we are a part of, some of the things that we are doing, and that is most precious to us. So with that being said, let's go ahead and go into the show. Again, my name is Imone Prosper, and this is the conduit for the poet entrepreneur. So we're here discussing the different aspects of how we need to be involved in the community. And one of the areas that is the most precious to my heart outside of volunteering, which we'll be talking with a few people about the volunteering. Actually, we'll be speaking with Rabbi Mark Glavowitz of TAO Center and the coordinator for the group called AllFed, which is a drive every year done to benefit the homeless. And that's something that they're doing again this year. They asked Regal Poet to be a part of it, and so we went ahead and jumped on that. So from the February 23rd all the way to the 26th, we will be going to various shelters, dropping off surplus food. That is the goal, the surplus food that out there, that because we as Americans dump at least a billion pounds of food a year. So we're trying to get those two avenues, the homeless shelters that need it and the restaurants that are trying to get rid of their surplus to connect them together. So that's why we'll have that going on. Rabbi Mark Labois will be on the show. We have Mr. Tony Wilson from New Orleans coming on the show as well, and he will be part of Poetry Rock Soul Fest, which is a Regal Poet production in association with From the Mouth of Faith and also DJ Osby shows. Now, specifically, it is a fundraiser for From the Mouth of Faith, so we're very, very proud to be a part of that. So Tony Wilson will cover that. So now we go back into reverse, and we talk about, as I was saying, something that's very, very important to me, very dear to me, which is technology. If you didn't know already, which I talk about this all the time, I am in Miami, even though it's cold today. I am in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, and Miami is actually considered the next Silicon Valley. What that means to us as artists, if you don't know what Silicon Valley is, that's basically everything that you use has generated or come from many of the places in Silicon Valley. Namely, we always say Microsoft, but there's so much more than that. And we see that there are rapid changes within mobile apps, which is something that I'm passionate about, and just technology, just the IT industry as a whole. What that means for you, when we first started the show at the beginning of the year, the first thing I talked about was Dr. Richard Florida, who spoke about the corporations that are really moving themselves to go where the talent is. So that means that since we are the talent, we should know how we should represent ourselves. There is a lack from what I hear of the artistry, and that word artist is loosely used. It's not necessarily just what we do, but developers are considered artists to the people that create the actual infrastructure within the design, that type of thing. So that definitely opens up a whole box for the artists, the creative artists that we are. And I find it very, very important that we recognize that and be a part of it, or we will be left behind. I could go on and on about that, but I'm not an expert. I actually brought an expert on the show, because that's what I do, to speak to us today. We have Mr. Michael Hall. First of all, Michael Hall, the reason why we have him is Black Tech Week at the end of the month here. The entire week is dedicated to presentations and speakers and what is going on, just the talk, the deep talk, and a lot of hackathons, a lot of the work that is needed for the minority communities. And I appreciate that so much. So I definitely had to have someone from Code Saver, and Michael Hall is from DigiGraph, and have them come on and just talk about what it means to really, really be a part of technology and why Black Tech Week is actually important. So Michael Hall is the owner and senior managing partner of Medium 4, and some of the things that we're looking at today is his ownership of DigiGraph and also the W3R Tech, I hope I said that correctly, which is a campaign really dedicated to highlighting the various ways that technology will be used, but in an artistic way. I actually very, very enjoyed reading about that. So I'd like to have him on the line because I could go on his resume, but I know he's short on time. Mr. Michael Hall, are you here with us today?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. I'm so, so glad to have you on the show today with us. Thank you so much for coming on, and it's such a short notice. So I definitely don't want to keep you too long, but I'm just so impressed by your resume and all the things that you're doing within the community, within the area of technology.
I appreciate it. Just glad to be on the show, and hopefully I can shed some light or give some inspiration to a couple of people that are listening.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Now, one of the things that, well, first of all, tell us about Black Tech Week. Let me back up. Tell us about DigiGraph and your project, and then that should segue right into Black Tech Week.
Okay. Well, DigiGraph is short for Digital Grassroots Innovation and Technology. It was a group that was put together after being involved in the South Florida Miami tech scene and just not seeing a lot of representation for diversity inclusion. Wanted to have a larger focus for diversity inclusion. I wanted to put together a overarching group. It was kind of a way of saying, let's remove the egos and let's find a way to collaborate with one another and let's find a way to work with one another. And I didn't see a lot of that going on. So with DigiGraph, we pulled together professionals in different genres. One of the things I think you can see with, I would say if you relate it back to artists, the music industry, it's just like tech. Your coders and your programmers are like your superstars. They're your artists on the label, but there's 5 to 10 jobs for every coder that has to be developed. And our thing was, don't feel you're left out of technology until you understand everything that it takes to build a tech company or to build a tech startup. So when we put this group together, it was more so to focus on social awareness, which is what we have for We Are Tech, and it was to focus on just putting together a co-create team where when a person comes with an idea and they don't have that executive suite or they don't have the support to build a company, they can come to our company if we like the idea. We bring them into our accelerator, and we help build their business or their dream.
Wow. And I like the fact that you guys designed this, especially for a lot of us that get you designed it in a way that you can allow us to focus because, technology is a very, very sexy industry on the back end, but excuse me, on the front end. But on the back end, there's a lot of work that, you know, really takes a lot of focus and direction. Every panel that I've gone to, you guys kind of reiterate that there's a lot of focus. You got to know what
right.
you want in order for you to be able to. And I really enjoy that you say, okay, let's calm it down a little bit and cut it down to size so we can actually have something executable. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So what are we hoping to really, really get out of at the end of Black Tech Week?
I think Black Tech Week is the same that you would get out of Black History Month. It will be the same that you get out of the reverence from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's a layer of things. One, you're looking at the celebration of what would become Black history later on, but you're looking at the celebration of minorities. So we've had people ask questions like, well, can only Black people attend? Well,
mm-hmm.
not only Black people celebrate Black History Month, it's just a focused initiative and it's just a focus, but everyone should celebrate Africa. Everyone should celebrate the motherland. Everyone should celebrate the diaspora. So that's the first thing. The first thing is for people to see unity because it's that opportunity to say, maybe I don't know as much about that community as I should, but this is the opportunity for me to learn more about the community. That will be the first thing. So it's all about unity and bringing people together. So when you think of Dr. Martin Luther King, you don't just think of Black people. You think about unity. When you listen to his speech, I Have a Dream, his dream was not just about Black people. It was for all people to be brothers and sisters. So that will be the first thing I want to clear up. The second thing is education, and the third thing would be awareness. Education on multiple levels, not just tech ed, not just learning how to code, but learning what it takes to build a business, learning what it takes to have the proper connection, learning what it takes to get in front of an investor, learning the lean startup approach, you know, what you think may be a reality versus the true reality. You know, there's a low entry point for technology because anyone can go file an LLC and anyone can say I'm starting a tech company, but understanding what it takes to outsource your programming, recruit your chief financial officer, there's a lot of components that you learn there. With the awareness, it's truthfully being aware of your surroundings. A lot of people don't know about, you know, the gentleman we have, Justin, that was a part of Snapchat, one of their main engineers. A lot of people don't know about John Gazier with App Africa because they don't get the same exposure or they're not in the same circle that get the exposure. So when you don't have, I would say if you look at it like mass media doesn't cover the original stuff that Common did. You don't really hear too much about the roots until Jimmy Fallon put them on. So when you have so many hidden gems and you have so much hidden talent, someone has to take the courage to create a platform and highlight that talent and highlight that beauty of African-Americans, of Caribbean. Someone had to take that leap, and that leap was gracefully taken and boldly taken by Derek Pearson and Felicia Hatcher, your original founders of Code Fever. And not just Code Fever, but they were also the original founders of Black Tech Week, and we were just honored enough to be a part of their steering committee and help shape this thing. But, you know, you have to take the chance. I would say this is your possibility of having your BET of technology. It's pretty much the same thing. We knew the music was there. We knew Michael was going to get spins, but everybody wasn't going to play all of Michael Jackson's songs, so somebody had to create BET. So I think Derek and Felicia mm-hmm. have created the exact same opportunity. This is the BET of technology. I mean, Black entertainment technology. All we got to do is take away the T, and you put that there.
Right.
But that's what I really see.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Now, what industries, because I just want to, and I know you guys are adamant about this too, like, the magnitude of the people that would actually be affected. What industries are ultimately affected by the technology boom that people are not really, people think that this is it, that we're in the technology boom, but there's more to come. So what industries you believe will be affected by this true technology boom?
Every industry is going to be affected, but I would say to give you more direct, as we call them in the industry, verticals, you have to look at the verticals of the area where you're in. So if you're thinking about South Florida, one of the largest verticals in South Florida is the hospitality industry. When you look at the hospitality industry, you have your Marriott, you have your Starwoods, and all those companies have been established, and granted, they've been doing great things. But you have to look at the transitions of what happened when you had, you know, hotel.com. And then you have to look at something. When you think of technology, I always try to encourage anyone I speak to, an adult or kid, technology is supposed to actually be disruptive. And disruptive doesn't mean what people may think it means, just a negative connotation, but it really means shaking up the industry. So when you have a disruptive vertical, you come up with something like Airbnb. Airbnb is going to be your largest hoteler in probably 2016, 2017. And that's because they wanted to create a network of people that trust people to stay with them overnight. So now you have people that are telling you, I don't want to stay in a hotel. I'm going to go to Airbnb. So not only will I be in someone else's house and possibly make a new friend, but they can tell me where I should and shouldn't go, and I don't want to spend as much money as a hotel. So you got to think, you have a hotel industry that's fighting with a guy that just wanted to make it easier for him to travel the world. Another vertical would be your, when you go into tourism, you're traveling, which is where you come up with something like Uber. Uber totally disrupted the taxi industry. And not only did it disrupt the taxi industry, it gave 250,000 people new job opportunities to become an Uber driver at night or over the weekend when they wanted to make extra money. So when you speak to people, and definitely when you speak to, I would say more so, a regal or a, I guess, a wealthy black industry, we're normally used to straight-up products and services. So you want to sell shoes or you want to have a restaurant. When you start thinking of technology, you think of something that you can build that can catapult you, but can also catapult and change a whole industry. So if you're not focusing on technology, you have the chance of somebody just coming and taking advantage of you.
That's exactly the direction I want us all as artists to look at. And now we know the terminology. We need to look at our verticals within our industry. So I appreciate that. How can we connect with you? And especially, I'm pretty sure there's some people on the line that would like to go ahead and maybe even pitch to be one of the companies that you helped build up. How can we connect? Stay connected?
Digigrass.com is the easiest way, and my Twitter handler, Michael Hall PM, is another way to reach me. Twitter is a very effective method for venture capitalists in the tech world. Although Twitter is 70% minority, which we pretty much own Twitter, which is why Black Twitter is so effective, it's still a very large field and it's a very big thing for the tech world. And plus, Twitter just added the direct video a couple of days ago.
Nice. Awesome. So, yes, we'll do that. When I see you, I'll ask you about your 9-year-old venture, because I have an 8-year-old, so, and I'm always talking to her about entrepreneurship. But unfortunately, we ran out of time, and I have to bring on our other guests. But I appreciate you so much, Michael. I can't wait to see you guys next week. And just hear everything that you guys have to say and just dive into it.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. All right. You too.
All right. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for hanging in with us. And that was Michael Hall. And please make your way to Black Tech Week. It's on Eventbrite. Look at all of the different packages that they have, go to everything, or just go to a few things and learn about the industry. But I do see that we have our guest from AllFed, the annual homeless drive that Regal Poet has decided to be a part of once again. We just love being able to help out the community, especially with food. same time learning so much that there is such a surplus of food that we waste, and the wherewithal and the insight of AllFed and Rabbi Mark Labowitz to be able to see that there's a gap that we can bridge together. So let's go ahead and bring Rabbi Mark on the line with us. Are you there?
I am. How are you?
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Great. I was intrigued listening to your last guest. That was wonderful.
I know. Yeah, and we weren't talking about tourism. We were actually talking about technology, which was awesome.
Oh, okay.
I know. You're like, am I on the right show? Yes, you're in the right place. Before you speak, Rabbi, let me just say publicly that I love speaking to you. I always feel calm, rejuvenated, ready to go. I just feel like I can take on the world with flowers.
I hope that's the case today, because I'm near my 3-year-old son, and he's doing everything he can not to be calm and relaxed.
If you hear
him in the background, that's what's happening here. But thank you. That goes to my heart, not to my head, Imon. I love you.
Yes, good. Yes, I love you as well. So please tell us all about AllFed. This is our fourth year, correct?
Yes, this is our fourth year. AllFed is a brainchild of mostly of just our observance of wasted food, as you were mentioning before. From the stats, we understand that 50% of all food harvested never makes it into our bellies. And the key, a component that's missing from fulfillment of that, or the delivery, is really what's missing. It's the transportation. We don't know how to get that surplus of food to the demand, which is mostly the homeless shelters and the food banks. And if everyone, literally, if everyone spent an hour a week with their car and a few dollars in gas, taking food from local restaurants and delivering that food to the local shelters, it would be a considerable what's the word I'm looking for? It would be an effort that would certainly satisfy a lot of the hunger that we're addressing today.
Yeah, I was amazed. I was amazed at the stats with the brochures that I would give out and send out.
Yeah, you really, and I want to let people know the kind of work that you're doing with us. Imon is canvassing, the streets and enrolling restaurants to give to us, and she is by far one of our most successful enrollment agents. And I'm thrilled with you. Just thrilled with you, Imon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll pay you later.
Yes. Okay, good.
But I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because while I was canvassing, even then I have to turn around and give it back to you, because there were moments that I'm like, I'm too busy, I can't do this. And you just, the pep talk that you would give me, really, I would actually take that even from canvassing to just what I do for a living, and this included. And I was like, oh my God, he's just amazing. But I remember talking to someone and say, hey, I got to go, I'm canvassing for some restaurants. And the person said to me, oh, that's what you went to college for? And it was interesting.
Oh, ouch. Let me put it into perspective for you and your friend who made that that lesson informed comment. So the essence is, you work with words. You are what we in Hebrew we refer to as a magid, a storyteller. You tell stories through poetic expression. And so if you deal in the currency of speech, then just as any other industry would take, let's say, a rough percentage of their currency or their commodity and give it to the poor, that's essentially what you're doing. You're taking that speech that you have honed and you're using it, I would say, you know, a rough percentage of your day over the last few weeks has been dedicated to using your word, your speech, in a way that gives back to the community. So it's like tithing, if you would. And I think that is why you go to college. I think that's why you go to. I think that's why you're living, essentially.
And I remember it did affect me. It did kind of get me off my kilter a little bit, if that's the right word. And I remember saying, oh, well, yeah, maybe he's right. And then, but I really didn't get too many no's from anyone. If they couldn't, without a fear, or maybe not understanding, maybe I didn't present it well, you know, it allowed me to evaluate how I speak to people, what passion, how to be passionate, how to be determined about things. But it also allowed me to realize that there's so many people that want to give, but they don't know how, they don't know where, or who to give it to. Like, there were times that people came to me and were like, oh my goodness, I've been like thinking about you, where have you been all this time? And if I didn't, you know, go into that, I would never have learned that, and we wouldn't have the success of the week, you know what I mean? So I appreciated you
I hear you.
So what are our dates, and do we need any people? How can we stay connected?
We always need people. We generally do this the right around you know, the end of the winter, let's say February going into March. And this week is this year, the All-Fed week is February 22nd through February 27th, Sunday through Friday. And so what we need is for people to would you like them to contact you? Is that a possibility? Yes. So I think to contact
Imon, like,
if they want to get involved, if they want to enroll restaurants, if they want to, you know, drive the food from restaurants to shelters, if they know of a shelter that needs supply, and this is the way in which we can sustain our community.
How many shelters have we has benefited from this effort?
Oh, dozens. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not the
number of shelters, but it's the amount of deliveries that we make to each shelter. So we have shelters in Broward, we have shelters in Palm Beach, we have shelters in Dade. And the number of food runs that they get is what's most important. Even if we did this all for one shelter, it would be enough. But we try to space it out a little bit.
Awesome, wonderful. And I want to mention that we will be celebrating the coordinators and the volunteers on March 6th. Is that okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to be celebrating at ArtServe. At our Sabbath service there on Friday, March 6th. Yeah, exactly. And Imon's going to cater the whole event. She's getting the whole event catered. So come for the spirit and for the food.
I'm not doing it. The restaurants are.
Right. Food
donors are. We thank them immensely if they're listening.
Who are some of the restaurants that you enrolled this year?
This year, wow! Thank you for putting me on the spot. By myself alone, we have over 30 restaurants. We have Eucalyptus Garden. We have a couple of Starbucks that have participated. Tucano. There's a lot of places in the Las Olas area. Davey, like Einstein Brothers Bagels in Davey. There's so many that we're going to announce on March 6th, and I've been announcing them online. And to be fair, next week I will say their names because I think that it is important for everyone to know who has been a fish peddler. There's so many, but we're just so grateful for them.
Great.
Okay,
wonderful.
So thank you so much, Rabbi, for being on here with us on such short notice. We appreciate you. for taking time with your son and getting on the show. And
could you hear him in the background?
Yes, it was a joy. Trust me. Don't even think. I love hearing his voice.
All right, give my love to Cora.
How can I complain?
And
I'll
see you on Friday.
Yes. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We're just going to take a quick break just so we can pay some bills. And then from there, we will have Mr. Tony Wilson, poet entrepreneur from New Orleans, Louisiana, who will be with us at Poetry Rock Soul Fest. I hope you're getting your tickets. They are on Eventbrite, and it's at from 7 to 11. So let's just take a quick break, and so we can have Mr. Tony Wilson come on the line with us.
You are listening to the Regal Poet Radio Show with your host, Imone M. Prosper. Are you tired of being undervalued as an artist? Do you have a passion to sell your art, but don't know where to start? Are you on a successful path, but need encouragement? Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur. Every week, we focus on topics that are set for the professional artist fully engaged in the creative economy. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, poet, entrepreneur, and the advocate for the creative arts economy. Our mission is to feed the artist who spends their life creating profound experiences within their art with the best practical and advanced practices they need to be empowered, energized, confident, and prepared. If you are a beginner, you need this. If you're a seasoned veteran, you need this. And with 12 years of experience behind me, the Regal Poet Radio Show is not only designed to deliver the best information, but this platform allows you to hear from successful industry leaders and poet entrepreneurs making a major impact in the world of poetry. What we know is that it is easy to find an open mic to perform, but there are a small number of places for the professional poet to go to learn how to build a thriving poetry career or business. Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur, as we focus every...
Welcome back to the Regal Poet Radio Show. This is your host, Imone M. Prosper. We are so grateful for having you. Today we've been talking about how to be regal in the community as we present various events going on in South Florida that Regal Poet is a part of. Please make sure you join us on our Regal Poet Facebook page, on Twitter, and on Instagram, letting us know what you're doing that's regal in the community. So as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and go to our poet of the week, poet entrepreneur, Tony Wilson from New Orleans, Louisiana. He has been doing some great things, some big things across the globe. And you know I love saying anything with poet and international. I love those two words that go together. That's the best sentence to me. And Tony Wilson has been doing that. We just want to bring him on because he is going to be one of our featured artists within the Poetry Rock Soul Fest at Eucalyptus Gardens on February 21st, this Saturday, as part of Art Walk at Eucalyptus Gardens and Art Walk on Wilton Drive. So let's go ahead and bring him on. He's the founder of Team Vision. He's a spoken word artist. He's a lyricist. You're with us, Mr. Wilson.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Perfectly. I'm great. I'm great. So glad to have you on the line. Thank you for patiently waiting. We had like a jam-packed show today with just good, good, good stuff. So we're so happy to have you as a part of it.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about being on here now. I'm also excited about coming down there and being a part of Poetry Rock Soul Fest.
Awesome. Now, this is not your first time coming down to South Florida, is it?
Yes, actually, this will be my first time in South Florida.
Yay, high five, Imone Prosper, being your first to bring you out here. Thank you so much for the hospitality that you had for us in New Orleans when myself and Ms. Quote went out there. We just reached out to you. In 5 seconds, you had us on one of your stages. So it's so awesome to be able to return the favor.
Oh, no problem. It was a pleasure having you.
You know, I'll be back, right? I'm just letting you know now.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever you want to, just give me some advance notice and I'll have something set up for you.
Perfect, perfect. Now, tell the audience about your promotional tour that you have just, not completely completed, but you just had, and the places you've been able to visit.
Okay, well, once again, my name is Tony Wilson, and I'm a spoken word artist, also a lyricist, very passionate about the art of writing and getting your message out. I recently just completed my second European promotional tour where I was in London, England, and Paris, France. I did a month out there with a total of 10 shows with two workshops that I put together. And it was a great opportunity. It was my second time that year. I originally went on a promotional tour for 10 days in May of 2014, and that all came at the heels of just really wanting to expand and wanting my message and my music and also my words to be heard. And I just felt that the message had to be made at a bigger, more global impact. I've always been passionate about travel and connecting with other cultures. So I decided to use that in my art as an opportunity to do that. So I went to, I did some amazing appearances in London and Paris and made some, forward some great international connections, which it's amazing because the group that I toured with in London will be coming to New Orleans March 2nd through 9th on their own promotional tour. So we have a whole week of events set up for them and a lot of cultural events that are kind of combining the stories of artists in London and artists of New Orleans together. So it's still bringing about some great opportunities, and there's going to be some amazing announcements for some more international travel that I'm going to have coming up, but I can't just announce that yet. But we have some really good things in store for 2015.
Perfect. That's wonderful. So glad to hear that. Anytime, you know, one of the things, anyone, I say, get out of the country with your art. Definitely get out of the country. That was the best I've ever had. Now, you're a part of Team Vision. Can you tell us about that, your role, and exactly what you guys are looking to accomplish?
Well, Team Vision Entertainment is a small production company that started here in New Orleans. I actually created it in 2011, and it's about four of us right now. And what we do is we do different musical productions, different stage and theater productions, as well as we produce our own music and our own merchandising and everything like that. We basically formed as a collective so that we could have a conduit to get out our dreams. There's the market that we're in when it comes to art is such an entrepreneurial sport right now. So it's like, but you also need a collective of people with a range of talents that can come to the table all under one goal. It's like we all need to thrive and we all need to get our message out, and we can do this together and in solidarity. So Team Vision stands for pride, sacrifice, and perseverance. Well, one, having pride in the work that you put out there, but pride in yourself and the message that you give out to the world. Sacrifice, as in sacrificing for the greater good of the community. I really believe in strong community action and strong community initiatives. And then perseverance, that is just an overall model that we need to have in every community, especially the Black community, of, you know, being able to plan and execute, but when the going gets tough, how to get over those roadblocks, because there are going to be a lot of roadblocks, and you've got to have the grit to persevere through it all.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. A perfect segue to something that I deal with daily. And just being as a poet entrepreneur, you end up dealing with materials or situations or scenarios that you did not expect. You know, what are some of the things that you didn't anticipate to face? Like, wow, I didn't think I would ever go through this. Or did you already have an entrepreneurial background?
Could you say that one more time? You kind of cut out.
Oh, sorry. I would say as a poet entrepreneur, I'm pretty sure, even for myself, there's things that come at you, like scenarios and things that you end up having to buy, or, you know, things, situations that you did not anticipate. Can you tell us a little bit about those, or were you, and did you already have an entrepreneurial background prior?
I guess not really. I never really had, I guess, an official entrepreneurial background, but there are so many things that pop up that you don't know, from, you know, startup expenses to just the trial and error of putting on productions. And, you know, last year was the beginning of our travel phase. Like, we did more events and productions outside of New Orleans than we did in New Orleans. So with that, it's like learning the different bumps and bruises that come with it, you know, because, you know, you have a cast of people. You also have production costs. You have overhead expenses when it comes to food and lodging. So it's like all these things that, you know, you had to learn show by show, and you had to have a good amount of, you know, research going into it, but understanding that you're going to have a learning curve, and it's your reflection and your analysis afterwards that is so key. And just staying consistent, you know, just because your first show doesn't go as you may have dreamt it to go, you are supposed to learn from that show and put the tools to what you learned there into the second show. And that's what we've done. And I feel like we are building a strong foundation of success.
Awesome. And I would agree, definitely. Tell us a little bit about your stage play.
We have a stage play called Fearless Voices of the Struggle. It's a spoken word stage play. And what we really wanted to do, with the whole reason behind that was spoken word is a beautiful art form. It's a beautiful art form, but it's also one of those art forms that people, it has such a cult following, and that people outside of the spoken word genre have a hard time connecting. And so what I wanted to do was show, like, really all it is self-expression through this poetic flow and this poetic monologue. And so what we create is these scenarios through our play, and it's called Fearless Voice of the Struggle because we are talking about different struggles and the different stories of individuals and how we are all made up of our past experiences, but that we still can also relate under the guise of we are all still going through the same struggle. Even though our makeup, our genetic makeups are different or our stories are different, we still have that common factor that we've all been through something. And if individuals could learn each other's stories or take time to get to know one another and their narratives, then I feel like it could cause a lot of, it could add more unity. We could have more unity in the world. I always use this example. I bring up Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman, and I say those were two individuals who were in a situation where they were both afraid of each other. They both were afraid of each other. And if we could get to a point where we can explain our narratives and come to an understanding and respect each other's perspectives and stories, then maybe we can get to a point where we don't have so much senseless violence, and we don't have casualties, where we don't have black men that are villainized who really are just individuals who have a story and are hurt themselves.
Awesome. Thank you. And we're really hoping to bring that to South Florida as well. We're working hard on that. Now, I love the Rise and Grind hashtag you have every morning. Tell us about where that comes from.
Rise and Grind. Everything I really put out into the world is always derived from something that I told myself. The team vision motto, Pride, Sacrifice, Perseverance, came, you know, from me being in college and me, you know, to be honest, like having a fear that I wasn't going to be able to be successful in college, and how I had to tell myself, I had to create a model for myself that I had to wake up to every day. And so with that is I created, you know, I basically started saying to myself, rise and grind. You know, every day I like to get up and look in the mirror and smile and just like give myself some sort of like motivating saying that I can just get up and keep going through. And, you know, we all, like, every day is not a good day for anyone. So it's like I like to have something where I'm giving myself a smile and telling myself, like, okay, let's go get it today. So rise and grind. It's like rise and let's get it. You know what I mean? Like, the day's short. Let's make the most of this. There's a lot out here that we need to achieve. And whatever it is, whatever your passion, whatever your story is, you know, go out there and get it. Rise and go get it.
Awesome. There's someone else that does that, and I was like, oh wow, that whole rise and grind, it's a thing. I didn't know it was a thing. It was a celebrity. I think I'll tell you the celebrity. People will look it up now. Just type it in Twitter. be like, really? Wow, that's so cool. So could we have an example of your work here? I would love to hear some of your poetry.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you a little piece. I may or may not do this one at Poetry Rock Soul Fest, but this is like one of my favorite ones. Just a little snippet. It's a piece that I have called Welfare Queen. It's Welfare Queen, these letters branded in scarlet, only using this to undermine and suppress her voice. Because, see, lately I've been thinking about building a bomb shelter as the imminent fire of a race war seems to kindle. My faith in the government starts to dwindle as I live in a city where poets do more for the community than Bobby Jindal. But we spend trillions for welfare. Well, hell, we spend trillions for war, stabilizing other countries, and we can't handle the problems knocking on our back door. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry I don't feel the need to apologize for understanding our story. When we live in a nation where 1% of the nation holds 40% of the wealth, but I never gave Uncle Sam my consent to take my 23%. Thank you.
Ooh, I hope you can hear the snapping. That's what's up. So that's just a snippet. We got to wait till the show. What can we anticipate for the show? What can we anticipate?
I mean, I like to call my flow like apocalyptic flow. I say I got that apocalyptic flow, basically meaning like, you know, and a lot of my, I really want to see a lot of, I like to talk a lot about the things going on around me, but I also like to talk about us standing up against the things that are around us. Like, we need to stop being the little men when we are the reasons why this nation runs the way it runs. You know, we have a voice in it, but we don't seem to believe that we have a voice. So I call for community action. My words are intense, but my words are impactful. And I try to speak as powerful as I can because I think that there needs to be strength behind your pain and your story. So it's going to be a lot of testimony in my words. But, you know, prepare to rock out and prepare for some intensity.
Awesome. Now, are we doing the full, I don't want to give anything away, but are we doing the full gear? There's a persona that I noticed that I didn't see in New Orleans, but I did see as I've been following you overseas. Are we going to get some of that as well?
Oh, the full-on persona. I think I'm thinking I'm going to pull it. I'm going to pull out the whole show. And I got a 10-minute set, but I'm definitely going to make it work. We're gonna have fun. We're gonna definitely have fun. So I think I'm gonna bring it out. I have a
perfect.
Basically, what we're talking about is my face paint. I have when I get in the full face paint garb. I mean, that's why I call myself the barbarian. Emphasis on rap bars. That's just the that's when it's time to call the anarchy. Shall I say?
Yes, I see. That was the feeling that I got. That was the feeling that I got, but love it. So I'm so glad to be working with you, and this will be our first collaboration together, and then more and more and more as the days and years and months go on. So we appreciate you for coming out with the Poetry Rock Show so fast. Please make sure you get your tickets. If you're here for Tony, make sure you click on Tony. Let him know that he can make sure he says an extra hello for you at the show. And it's not going to be cold. I'm already putting it out there. It's freezing today just because on Saturday it's going to be warm. So you guys can come out without having to worry about having a full-length coat. So thank you so much, Tony. We are looking forward to seeing you on Saturday. And
yes, and thank you, Imam, for everything that you do.
Not a problem. It's my pleasure. You guys make me better. So you have a good rest of the day, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday. Guys, make sure, again, you get your ticket. Bye. Have a good one. Guys, make sure you get your ticket for Poetry Rock Soul Fest. Again, it's on Eventbrite. We're there ready and waiting for you. It will be at Eucalyptus Gardens, which is 2340 Northeast 13th Avenue, Wilton Manors, Florida, 33305. All of that information is on our event page. We have been blasting it, and you can always go to the Regal Poet page. All the information is there as well. So stay tuned. We have more. Now, I wanted to end the show with some more from Mr. Philip Levine, as we say our goodbyes and pay our homage and respect to them. Shout out to Omiami Poetry Festival for always keeping us abreast on what's going on. Check them out on Twitter, and we anticipate the whole month of National Poetry Month with them. So you guys have a great evening. Enjoy your lunch, and enjoy Mr. Philip Levine. Have a good one.
We now come to the end of another dynamic episode of the Regal Poets Radio Show. I truly hope you enjoyed yourselves and learned something that inspires you, educates you, and empowers you to take your art form to the next level. The pieces you have heard today will be the featured videos on our YouTube channel at Regal Poet under the Regal Poet of the Week playlist. Leave a comment and a like. More importantly, share on the social media you use, or just send an email to a friend or a colleague of the playlist and of one of our Regal notes off of Facebook, also under Regal Poet. That's spelled REGALPOETE. If there's a poem you would like to share that inspired you to love poetry, a poet who fits the bill as a great entrepreneur, or a topic you would like to hear on our show, please feel free to contact us at regalpoet, REGALPOETE, at gmail.com, or leave us a voice message at 772-245-POET. That's 772-245-7638. We also like photos of our Regal Poets looking fabulous, so you can tag us with hashtag Regal Poets, where we'll find it on all of the photo apps from Instagram to Flickr. We will see it. We're on all of those. This program is being made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to be a member of the Regal Poet family, please leave a donation through PayPal with our email, REGALPOETE@gmail.com, as the recipient. Again, thank you for listening. Tune in next week, where we will be featuring another Regal Poet of the Week. Enjoy the rest of your lunch, and always remember what poet Walt Whitman says. There are two selves, the public self and the real self, the regal self. Regal poets say, be yourself, be regal. Regal Poet.